Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we're going to be looking at issues which relate to the humanity of Jesus Christ, which is a continuation of our studies from last week, where we covered the proof of the virgin birth and showing that Christ was truly human and truly God. In this week's programs, we're going to be looking at the false views in relation to the humanity of Christ, which rose up in the church from the 1st to the 7th centuries. Then we'll also look at the Orthodox view, as well as examining some of the passages where we see that Jesus Christ is truly God, but on the other hand, he said he did not know the time of his return. In the life of the church from the 1st to 7th century, one of the main issues that the church had to struggle with was proving that Jesus Christ was truly human and truly God. And we even see the struggle early on in the life of the New Testament, especially in the writings of the Apostle John. For example, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world." Also in 2 John verse 7, says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." So early on, as the New Testament was being written, there were those that were rejecting that Jesus Christ actually had a human physical body. And the first issue that the church had to deal with in the first century was what has been called Gnosticism. This term comes from the Greek word gnosko, which means knowledge. And this group basically taught that man had to receive a special knowledge in order to receive salvation. And they also believed that all matter, all physical things were evil and that God was pure spirit. They taught that a lower creation of God actually created this physical universe, which is the God that the Jews worship. They called this God the Demiurge. And because in their mind God was pure spirit, he had nothing to do with the physical universe. The impact on the teaching of Jesus, as we see in the epistles of John here, is that Jesus did not have a real physical body since matter was evil. And salvation actually consisted of being freed from this physical body and returning to the realm of the pure spirit. This Gnostic teaching of the first century can be divided into two different groups. There was one, first of all, a group that was called the Docetic Gnostics. And that comes from the Greek word dokeo, which means to seem. And that's because this group taught that Jesus Christ only appeared or seemed to have a human body. His body was not truly physical, it was ethereal or a phantasm body. It only appeared to be a human body. Such stories come out of this group that when Jesus Christ walked upon the sands, he didn't leave a footprint because his body was not truly human. They also taught that Jesus was never physically born, nor did he ever suffer or die. He was born of the Virgin Mary, but only passed through her body. It's interesting, this group did not deny the deity of Christ, but denied his humanity. The second group of Gnosticism in the first century came under the influence of a leader by the name of Cerinthus, and he was alive during the New Testament era. And he evidently had contact with the Apostle John at one point, because Eusebius, in writing in his History of the Church, records these words. He, Irenaeus, states on the authority of Polycarp that one day John went into the bathhouse to take a bath. But when he found that Cerinthus was inside, he leaped from the spot and ran for the door, as he could not endure the same roof. He urged his companions to do the same, calling out, "Let us get out of here, for fear this place falls in, now that Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is inside." And this man made a distinction between Jesus and the Christ. And this same sort of distinction is trying to be made today in many liberal groups. He actually taught that Jesus the man and Christ was the spirit. The Christ Spirit ascended upon Jesus at his baptism and left right before the crucifixion. It returned to heaven and left Jesus to suffer alone on the cross. This man also emphasized the interaction with angels, principalities, and different speculations. This is why the Gospel of John and 1 John are so important, which stresses the humanity of Christ. Paul also refutes this sort of doctrine in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, which reads, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." Then jumping over to 2 verse 9 and explains that, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So Paul here was trying to refute the idea that Jesus Christ lacked in deity or that his human body was something less than truly human, just as the Apostle John wrote. And the early church in 451 put a creed together called the Chalcedonian Creed, which tried to summarize the Orthodox position on the humanity and deity of Jesus Christ. And the words that they wrote on the subject truly cannot be improved upon. And part of this creed reads this way, speaking of Jesus Christ, the same perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood, truly God and truly man. That's what the church has proclaimed and tried to defend throughout its history. In the first century, the humanity of Jesus Christ was clearly attacked. And then moving on into the second century, two other groups rose up which held heretical viewpoints. One group was called the Ebionites, which was a Jewish form of Christianity, which viewed Jesus as a mere man, the normal son of Mary and Joseph, who was only set apart from others by his holiness and extraordinary endowments. And they believed that Christ possessed the Holy Spirit after his baptism and that he was not pre-existent. He was a mere man, naturally born. And they stressed the need for the continued obedience to the law of Moses. So it was a Jewish legalistic group which denied the humanity of Christ. Also in the second century was another group called the Nazarenes. Now this is not to be confused with the Church of the Nazarene, which is in existence today, which holds to the fundamentals of the faith. This was also a Jewish form of Christianity, which held to the miraculous virgin birth of Christ, but viewed him as a son of God in a unique sense, but that he was still a mere man. He was an elevated man. They also stressed the need for the continued obedience to the law of Moses. Both these groups deny the pure truth of what John wrote in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. In verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we have a clear statement that the Word was God. Then verse 14 of the same chapter says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Logos, or the Word, became flesh, taking on an additional nature. What we have in the person of Christ is that he's one person with two distinct natures, a divine nature and a human nature. Theologians have given this the term the incarnation, which comes from the Latin, which means to be in flesh. God was actually in flesh, one person, yet two distinct natures, truly God and truly man. Then moving on into the fourth century, there was a presbyter in the church of Alexandria by the name of Arius. And he taught that Jesus Christ was not truly God. He denied the truth that Jesus Christ was fully God. He taught that Jesus was the first created being of the Father, that he did have a true human body, but he denied his deity. And the church dealt with this in the Nicene Creed at approximately 325. We've actually dealt with this subject on another program in depth on proving the deity of Jesus Christ. Actually, Arius holds the same doctrine that the modern-day Jehovah's Witnesses preach about Christ. It's a false doctrine that denies the true deity of Christ. We'll have time to look at one other heretical group which crept into the church in the 4th century. This was also by a leader of the church, a bishop, the church of Laodicea in the 4th century by the name of Apollinaris. He denied the completeness of the humanity of Jesus Christ. And he made a distinction between these three terms, the soma, the psuche, and the pneuma. He taught that Jesus had a true body, which is the Greek word soma, a true soul, which is the Greek word psuche, but not a real or rational spirit, which is pneuma. He taught that the Logos replaced the mind or spirit of Jesus. So in essence, what he was saying is that Jesus Christ did not have a true human mind like everyone else created. And what he did in this, he actually destroyed the true humanity of Christ. And he was trying to make an attempt of how to explain how these two natures could be one person. But what he ended up doing was diminishing both sides of the true humanity as well as the true deity of Christ. This doctrine was condemned at the Council of Antioch in 378 and 379 and the Council at Constantinople in 381. And the point I'd like to bring out and warn you about is that these doctrines rose up from inside of the church. These were not groups outside the church that the church was dealing with, but leaders within the church bringing in this doctrine. That's why 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So these doctrines crept into the church. That pattern has continued even to this very day. And that's why Jude, verse 3, says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Listen to this part, verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. And so what happens is these false doctrines creep into the church. That's why it's mandatory that you are a person of the Word of God that's able to defend the faith. And when you hear false doctrine, you're able to mark it out because you're so familiar with the truth of God's Word. History has the tendency of repeating itself, just like there's been false views in the past in the history of the church. There's also going to be false views that will creep in unnoticed in the life of the church today. We need to be armed with the Word of God in order to defend it. In our next program, we'll continue to look at some of these other false views that crept into the church in relationship to the humanity of Jesus Christ.